Many years ago, I pastored a large, predominantly white downtown church in Charlotte. But at the same time, I was also the director of missions for a small, deathly multicultural group of Baptist churches. And I had a vision. I wanted all of the churches in that multicultural association to come together and sponsor a vacation Bible school for inner city children that would run the entire summer. Establishing and administering that vacation Bible school was by far the hardest thing I have ever done. Every single day brought me challenges I had not expected. Every single day brought me questions I had not anticipated. Every single day embroiled me in bruising controversies and conflicts that by the middle of the summer left me distraught and exhausted. And about that time, a friend of mine in the church sent me a little note of encouragement. And attached to it was a Rolodex card that said, "Hang in there, Brother Richard." To my dry, dark, and desiccated soul, that little Rolodex card was like a beam of light, filling me with hope. And I taped it to my desk, and I looked at it every day. It was a testament to even a small gesture of the power of encouragement. Sometime thereafter, one of my churchmen was, when you're in a church, you have a lot of mamas, whether you want it or not. And one of my mamas noticed that I drove into the parking lot, I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. And she pulled me aside and told me of a friend of hers whose life had ended because he hadn't worn his seatbelt and I needed to wear mine. Well, I've heard those stories before, but this time it kind of sunk in. I thought, my children are young. It would be a horrible thing to leave them fatherless for a preventable death. So her word of encouragement caused me to change a habit. It was not long into that pastorate when I became very frustrated by our lack of progress. I had grand ambitions for our congregation, but for every two steps we took forward, we seemed to take one back. And obviously my frustration must have been evident to those around me who were close to me, because an old man came into my office one day. And he started flexing his index finger like this. And he said, "Son, you know how an inchworm moves forward? Very slowly. And with every step forward, it always slides a little bit back." That simple childlike metaphor of the inchworm that slides forward even as it slides back unleashed a reservoir of frustration in me and filled me with hope. It was a testament to the power of encouragement. When we look at Philippians, we're not surprised to find Paul encouraging his beloved flock there. If there isn't any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy of being of the same mind. Behave in the same love of one accord and one mind. We're not surprised to see the great apostle encouraging that flock that he cherished. But what is somewhat surprising is to find him acknowledging later in the letter how much their encouragement spoke to him. it was nice of you to share in my troubles. You Philippians yourselves know that when I left Macedonia, no church at the beginning of the gospel entered into partnership with me, giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help and then helped me again. The church at Philippi was concerned for Paul in his imprisonment. They sent him an emissary with a love gift to strengthen him in his time of need. But their love offering reminded him of a time early in his ministry at a critical juncture when he felt totally alone, and they had sent a gift to him that said to him, "You are not alone. We are in this with you." There's symmetry in that. There's symmetry in that. Because the reason the church at Philippi existed is because Paul took pity on someone he had no reason to have any interest in. His path crossed that of a young woman who was obviously mentally disturbed, and Paul healed her of her affliction, and for so doing, he was arrested, cruelly flogged, and manacled in a jail cell. And then an earthquake came and shook the jail and loosened his chains and the chains of every prisoner. And the guard in charge of that jail was about to take his own life when Paul cried out in encouragement, "Do not harm yourself. You are not alone. We are all here." And the jailer realized, this man cares more for my welfare than he does for his own. And he accepted the good news of Jesus Christ, and he and his whole household were baptized. And I like to believe that the church of Philippi's interest and encouragement of Paul in his ministry roots in the fact that one of its original church members was grateful for Paul taking an interest in him when he had absolutely no reason to do so. The power of encouragement. It can bring light into your darkness. It can change a habit. It can change your life. Years ago, a former church asked me to come back and speak. And I always dread that because invariably people come up and say, "You don't remember me, do you?" And some young man came up to me and I had to admit, "No, I don't remember you." He said, 8 years ago, you began a sermon by talking about the fact you and your wife had lost a child to miscarriage. And my wife and I had just gone through that. And as soon as you started speaking, my wife started crying. And I thought, we won't get through this sermon. But then you talked about words of hope. You spoke words of encouragement. And you inspired people not to give in to despair. And so we resolved we would start trying again. And he pointed to two beautiful young children. He said, "That's the result of your inspiration." Words of encouragement can bring light into darkness, can change a habit, can transform a life that thinks it is fixed and faded. I have no doubt that Paul cherished encouragement because he knew his own ministry was defined by encouragement to people who had no reason to take compassion on him. When he had been struck blind by the light of Christ on the road to Damascus and was in a room purposeless, sightless, clueless, Christian named Ananias, who had no reason to take compassion upon this persecutor of the church, came and laid hands on him and said, "Brother Saul," and the scales fell from his eyes. And then Paul goes to Jerusalem brimming with enthusiasm, eager to meet with the Christian leaders of that city, and all of them shunned him, except a guy named Joe, who was known to everybody by his nickname, the son of encouragement, Barnabas, who took Saul by the hand and introduced him to every one of the Christian leaders and vouched for him, though he had no reason to do so. I suspect every single one of us here knows that our faith to some degree has been molded by the encouragement of others, sometimes encouragement from people who had no reason to take interest in us. Paul even encouraged the very Roman soldier that was chained to him. How many of us in our travels throughout life, in our businesses, in our grocery stores, in our neighborhoods, in our ball fields, wherever we might be, come around people whose lives cry out in their desperation and distress for someone to take an interest in them, even though they do not have to? You and I have been given a power to alleviate other people's pain and to uplift their spirit. You and I have been given a ministry that can lift a soul out of despair, change a habit, change a life, change an attitude. We've been given the ability to speak a word of encouragement. How often do we speak it? For many years, professional golfers and amateur golfers flocked to an old man by the name of Harvey Pinnock, considered one of the greatest golf teachers in the world. And pros and amateurs alike loved Harvey Pinnock because he was always positive. He would never use the word choke. He would say to people, "Why don't you grip down the club a little bit?" He would never say to people, "Don't do that." He would say, "Why don't we try this instead of what you're doing?" He was so incredibly positive. And some journalists asked him, "Mr. Pinnock, why are you always so encouraging and positive?" And he said, "Well, the golfing area of the brain is a fragile instrument, very open to the power of suggestion. The soul is a fragile instrument. The soul is a fragile instrument, very open to the power of suggestion, but especially open to that word of inclusion and invitation and encouragement and uplift and hope." 6 months after that unwanted mama's unwanted advice, I was rear-ended by an inattentive driver who slammed my car and thrust it into a ditch. It totaled the car. But I am here today because of that woman's encouragement. That seatbelt saved my life. Encouragement can change a habit, change an attitude, change an approach to existence. It can transform a life. Sometimes people ask me, "When did you know you're going to be a preacher?" And I say, "When the counselor said you're not fit for any other job." No, I think it goes back to a time when I was a junior in college. Just lying in bed one night, 2 a.m, the phone rang. And a voice on the other end said, "Can you come down and talk to me?" Well, I didn't know the kid very well, but he knew I was a Christian. He knew I got up and went to church every Sunday. It doesn't take much to be seen as a saint, even at the University of Georgia. So I crawled out of bed, went down, and this young man said, "Let's take a walk." We walked across campus, and he poured out his life to me. He said, "I have lost my way. I have lost hold of my dreams. My life has completely fallen into disrepair. I have no hope. I don't know what to do." Well, I don't remember what I said to him, but I do remember saying to him, "Look, I do know nothing can separate us from God's love." And I do know that if you're open to it, God's grace will be sufficient for you through this crisis and beyond. We walked, we cried, we talked, we prayed. I tumbled back into bed about 4:30 in the morning, think, well, I just wasted 2.5 hours of sleep. And I didn't see the young man very much the rest of the time I was in school until years later. He tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "I'm a physician now with a thriving practice." And everything I've accomplished roots back in that night when you took time. When you took time to listen to me. I didn't know what effect my words had. But I knew even then that the power of encouragement could shine a light in a soul of darkness. All around us there are people whose lives are lost in darkness. All around us there are people whose lives are in distress, who are weighed down by depression, who wallow in despair, who are eager for someone to say to them, "You are not alone." Christ has given to all of us the ministry of encouragement. Will we practice it? May we pray together. Lord, each of us knows how a word fitly spoken has strengthened our lives, given us direction as to how we should proceed, has lifted our spirits up when they were in the darkness. May we realize there is only one way forward, and that is to share that word of encouragement with those around us who most need it. Help us to understand that when we encourage as we have been encouraged, that we mirror the very ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.